Ramadan is a month of change. It's when people, no matter where they are in their life, hope that the doors of mercy open and they can leave Ramadan better than they entered it. And may that happen for you. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. But how? How can I do this? Well, I can tell you how not to do it so that you can do it, because there's four things that are probably stopping you right now. And it's not your circumstance. It's not your life situation, your environment, you know, the fact that your parents are like this, or your spouse is like that, or, you know, your situation for X, Y, Z. It's not. It's these four things. But the great news is they're easily changeable because you hold the key. You hold the power to do it. So tomorrow could be completely different if you want. I'm going to tell you what those four things are. Let's go. Hello, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome back to the Mindful Muslim Speaks podcast. I'm your host, Mindful Muslim. Now, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, many of you might be wondering, why does she not have a raspy voice this podcast yet? Well, I mean, I have a tired voice, but a lot of you know I do record right after Fajr. As a mom, it is the only time I can. But guess what? Because it's Ramadan, I said, let me do it at night after prayers so I can go to sleep and focus on all the other things I have to focus on, which is alone time with Allah and Suhoor. And why I do these things outside of Ramadan. In Ramadan, I just increase it. I kind of lock myself off a little bit from the world. And alhamdulillah, I hope you are having a great beginning of Ramadan. Now, I want to say, I know Ramadan is not that easy for everyone. Even the great believer or the new believer or the weak believer, it doesn't really matter. It's a time where it tests our resolve and our grit. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your fasting easy for you. And by the way, I just want to give a little quick tip, because I mentioned this the other day inside of our Thrive Sisterhood for sisters that were starting to fast, that I could feel it could be hard for them. Here's a pro tip from a lifelong faster. If you get incredibly hungry and you feel like you just got to break your fast, you can't do it anymore, and you're having those thoughts, take a nap. If you're able to, I mean, if you're driving in a car, obviously not, but take a nap. When you wake up, because your brain has been like thrown off by sleeping, not a long nap, mind you, 45 minutes max. Otherwise you get a little bit tired and then you can't pray and you get lazy and all the other stuff. It's really, really useful. You'll wake up and like forget that you were hungry completely oftentimes, because your body kind of resets because it's been thrown off. Number two, if you can't do that, keep busy. When you're busy, you can't focus as much. And you say, I am busy, but I'm still thinking about, you know, food and hunger. Well, there's a couple things I do for that. One is I just keep switching my game up and just being, you know, start a project, you know, like look at it as a time to like do all the things you were trying to do for yourself Islamically. But also look at situations that are really bad in the world. There's just absolutely horrible situations, as we know, like for the people of Palestine, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them ease, the people of Sudan, the people of, you know, Pakistan. There's so many. And we are just so blessed. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make it easy for us to realize that what we're feeling for a couple hours. I tell people, you're having an early breakfast, a late dinner, and just skipping lunch. That is not, but it feels really bad, right? But alhamdulillah, you have the breakfast, it's possible for you. And the evening to eat, it's possible for you. For many people around the world, it's not. So try to keep that in perspective. Stay super minimalistic. Just want to throw that in. It's kind of like a super tip before we dive in. All right, so if you don't know me already, my name is Mindful Muslima. This is a podcast where we help you not just survive anymore, but go from surviving to thriving and becoming a woman of impact. Now, I have recently learned there are men that love to listen to this podcast. I even have men that reach out to me and say, I know you have this international sisterhood. Can you locate me? Where is the brother's side? And I'm like, oh, I only deal with sisters. I can't say that I deal with that. So sorry for that. But alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create more and more experiences for our brothers and sisters worldwide. Shout out to the sisters there in Thrive. We started our programming just a day or two ago. So today when we're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what could be stopping you from connecting with him. And these to me are absolute gems that I've learned, because our goal here in the podcast is to give you things that we wish we were given so that you can do things faster and easier than we did. And alhamdulillah, one of the most important things that you can do is to recognize where you are. Now, there's a lot of us that feel like we're really in tune and in touch with ourselves, but there's a lot of us that are in denial or just living like on autopilot, numb, if we can be frank. A lot of people say to me, like, sister, I just feel numb when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and salah. Like, I don't feel it. I want to cry. I wanted this. I wanted that. Well, that numbness often comes from a distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you've been distant from Allah for a while, don't expect this instant, this feeling. I would say the very first thing you should do if you do feel that, though, is to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just here's a refresher if you get what tawbah is when you, it's not just istighfar, it's not just when you say sorry to Allah. Oh, sorry Allah, I was listening to music this whole time. Sorry Allah, I've been texting guys. Sorry Allah, I've been, you know, super moody with my family. Sorry Allah, I've neglected salah. Sorry, and it's not just a sorry. That's istighfar, that's great, that's a beginning, but if you really, really want reformation and closeness and all that great stuff, you got to follow it up with, but here's my plan to not do it anymore. I'm not just going to stop it for Ramadan. Ramadan is going to be the catalyst for the rest of my year. And a lot of people think, oh, after shaitan comes back, they have all these like excuses in their head. I'll get to that in a minute. That's tip number two. But the fourth thing stopping you, the very first one, is that we don't recognize where we are. If we've really, really been not so amazing this year, get down on your knees, go into sujood and tell that to Allah. Get real with yourself. Get real with Allah. Stop like just having that conversation with yourself in your head as you're driving or walking or lying in bed. Actually bring it to the sajda, like bring it to the table and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about it. Talk to yourself, write in a journal, get it out. Just like, you know, subhanAllah. One thing that we do inside of mindfulness, for example, as we talk to women about rewriting their stories, right? I had one sister, she was in our emotions program, and she was saying that she kept having this story, oh, my parents this, my parents don't love me, my parents, she's going on and on and on. I'm like, girl, you're just retelling that story every day when you tell it to yourself and you tell it to everybody else as if you are a victim of that story. I said, take that story, write it down one more time, then crumple that up and throw it away. Oh, like that's my story. Well, a lot of us are carrying this baggage. You know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the one who's never able to. Okay, like if you keep doing that, like I'm glad you recognized it. So FYI, when I say recognize it, yeah, own your what you've done, but then take that, crumple up, throw it away. Because I want you to imagine, your life is a beautiful novel. And as I open that novel, there are pages that are written on. But most of the time, those pages are written on by someone else. We've had parents who told us who we are. We've had, you know, relationships. We've had whatever it is, bosses, you know, teachers tell us who we are. But you know what? You have to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and realize who you are. And that identity has to be between you and Him. It doesn't have to be based on everyone else's opinions of you. And yes, you can take some of their opinions with a grain of salt and say, okay, I'll use that as like, you know, just some learning information. But it doesn't have to be your legacy on paper. You could feel free to take that part that somebody else wrote. Could be your parents telling you you're not good or you're fat or you're not as smart as your sister or your brother or whatever. And rip it out, crumple it up, throw it away. And I want you to rewrite that part of your story. And we do that, for example, a lot of times inside of our school with women. And I've had women tell me they wrote their story for something like, I'm always a disappointment to my parents. They're always telling me this. And so because of that, I struggle to this, right? Then I say, I need you to rewrite that story. But the next steps you're going to create, and it's going to be you like rising from the ashes and you doing well. They're like, all right. So like, yeah, I've been told since I was young that blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I don't get along with my parents. And yeah, blah, 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 blah. But actually, you know, alhamdulillah. But because of that, it's given me the strength. It's given me the whatever. It's given me, you know, to realize I have to do this. And because of that, I now am going to make a complete life change and I'm about to do blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just like they're using that as an energy boost to have a revelation about their life and to move on, as opposed to the thing that constantly drowns them and pulls them down. Does that make sense? So yeah, recognize where you are. Have that moment. Make double. Okay, Allah, I made mistakes. But I'm not going to use that to be the thing that weighs me down anymore. I'm going to rewrite that story and use it as the next step to take me somewhere else. So that's my first. What's stopping you is you're just sitting there. You're using that story as a crutch. It's the thing that's holding you back. And because of that, I'm not going to do good this Ramadan. And because of that, I'm not going to be, you know, able to connect with Allah. Stop that story. Oh my gosh, stop it in your tracks. Stop telling it to yourself and stop telling it to others. Which gets me to number two. It kind of creeps, like you knowing where you are is important and using that to take you to a next place. Just first of all, get real, talk to Allah about that and connect there. But the second piece of advice, or the second thing I'm going to tell you, I'm sure it's going to stop you from having a great Ramadan and connecting with Allah if you don't get a hold on it, goes hand in hand with kind of like the story bit, your negative self-talk. I had a sister just talk to me the other day about a relationship. You know, I'm really proud of her. She called me up on the phone and she was telling me, and I had spoken to her before about this relationship that she's leaving. And that's really hard because, you know, some of our sisters, they have relationships. They don't feel the proudest of them, but she's a really good person. And you can tell that she's really trying to make a big life change. Unfortunately, the people in her life are just not supporting her on that change. Instead, they're just reminding her of all the mistakes she's ever made and why she's probably going to fail at this attempt, just like she's failed before. Wow. Ouch. Talk about like family not being supportive, right? And so as she's crying to me on the phone, I'm just like, girl, you are in such a good place. And she's like, I don't feel like I'm in a good place. I'm like, no, you are, because you are owning everything you did before and you are adamant that you are not going to stay this person. You're going to be different. I could feel the passion in you. And she was like, yeah, I just, I'm ready. I'm like, you see? And what's holding you back? She's like, well, I keep believing in my head and telling myself what people are saying. Like, there's just kind of like some truth to it probably, because yeah, I have screwed up before. And yeah, I did try to do things before and I did. And yeah, yeah. So even after she just hears one or two words from that person or two, she walks away and the negative self-talk in her head the rest of the day is like, yeah, it's probably not be able to do it. Oh, I don't know why I'm trying in the first place. Oh, I'm such a failure. Oh, I always do this. So my point is, are you going to succeed when you're constantly telling yourself you're not going to? Like, let's just look at your Ramadan right now. Some of you are like, oh, I hope I don't fast. I hope I don't waste my Ramadan on social media. I hope I don't waste my Ramadan being lazy. I hope I don't. Like, okay, well, why don't you just say yourself something better? I'm going to have a great Ramadan. You know, I know fasting's hard, but Allah will make it easy for me. He promised me in the Quran. I know that, you know, I haven't been the best person this year, but I know Allah loves me and He wants me to change. And He has chained up shaitan, as a matter of fact, just so I could do it easier. So alhamdulillah, please, Ya Rab, give me the strength. I know by your way, anything is possible. Like, if I talk to myself like that, I'm like my own best cheerleader. Do you get me? So the negative self-talk, if you don't get a grip, that will ruin your Ramadan. You know, not shaitan's not here, but you're like your own shaitan, right? Your own self-sabotaging. So he already took away shaitan. Use that as a leg up and don't be shaitan while he's gone. You know what I mean? And you know, it's so funny because all of these points are interconnected. Number three, the reason you're not going to succeed or what might be stopping you from connecting with Allah is you need to learn better how to kill the noise. There's just so much chatter going on that you're not putting a stop to it and filtering what you let get to you. Number one, your family, right? The criticism, they're like, oh, you know, it's really funny because our families can be the most hurtful, right? Even though they're supposed to be the most supportive. And I've seen so many people who become famous or big or whatever talk about this. They talk about how like their family told them maybe nothing. I think my daughter and I, we were just talking, just because I had like my older child, I have multiple children, some of them are married or in college or whatever. And one of the older ones, like the college age ones, she was like talking about, we were talking about homeschooling, right? Because I homeschool. And a lot of people think homeschooling is some like hokey pokey thing. But what people don't realize is homeschooling used to be for the elite. It used to be for the people who are like Albert Einstein was homeschooled, or like the Wright brothers. You know, Albert Einstein, he invented electricity, he invented the atomic bomb. That's not a good thing, but he invented so many things that have affected our world today, like the Wright brothers, the planes, you know, like Alexander Graham Bell, the phone. I mean, these are just cheesy examples, but there's so many. And homeschooling was for the elite. And so having some one person one-on-one with you, by the way, you want to get a tutor for your kid, it's really expensive. So we were talking about the fact that like Albert Einstein, at one point he had gone to school and he was bullied all the time and he was told he was nothing. And I'm telling you right now, even you listening to this podcast, we wouldn't be able to do that without the electricity, right? That was going through these devices. And like, then there's somebody who created audio and there's somebody, a lot of these people, they came from environments where they, as a child, they were told they were nothing and something, but then they killed the noise. They were just like, nah, this is my dream. This is my passion. This is my whatever. And you'll just hear story after story after story of people who have gone through that. And it's really funny because my other daughter and I, we were studying Galileo, and it was really interesting because we read all these different characters from all over the world and these different, you know, famous inventors and whatnot. And Galileo, you know, he lived a time where he was told by the church that he, and I'm getting to my point here, hold on. He was told by the church that he was just like a heretic and he was whatever, and they put him on house arrest and he was just wrong, you know, the way that the earth was. When he was talking about it, it was anti-religious and it was like blasphemous. And he was put to like such torture during his lifetime. Society was not kind to him. The man dies. 300 years later, out comes a formal apology from the church. They were wrong. He was right in all his science. But the man, they never heard the apology. You get me? Like, people are just cruel sometimes. Sometimes it's our own family. Sometimes it's our friends. Sometimes it's people we once loved or who loved us. And alhamdulillah for all things. In the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, he went through so many trials. So many trials. He was had like a siege on him where he couldn't eat and he wasn't given food and he was cut off and he was even chased by children, pelted with rocks till he bled. He went through wars. He went through so many things. And believe me, he was told by society he was no good. He was no good, but he's carrying this message. And alongside of him are his companions carrying this message. And if you haven't caught our series, we just released one yesterday about this beautiful, beautiful sister. Alhamdulillah, there's so many beautiful examples of amazing women in their society, in their family, in their neighborhood, in their town. There was not anyone bigging them up. There was nobody like, yeah, sis, keep that going. You know, that worship. Yeah. Like nobody was going to be like, yeah, wear hijab. Yeah. Pray all night. People are just, why are you wasting your time? Why are you trying to act like you're religious? Why are you same noise. People for centuries have learned to kill the noise and rise above and do what they got to do. So what's going to stop you from Allah is you listening to all of those negative spaces. And the other thing is, I'm just going to take a minute to throw social media in on there. One thing I was talking about a little bit last Saturday, I'm going to do another session this Saturday. I'm doing some Ramadan research coaching with a lot of you right now in Ramadan. Shout out to the sisters. And one of the books that we give away to women inside of there is how to, you know, not let social media take you over. And in Ramadan, because like a lot of women tell me like they just ruin Ramadan on their phones, just scrolling all day. Let me just tell you something. I'm really glad if you're using this podcast as a way to escape music. You should. I'm not talking about me, like any learning material that is going to get you away from that. Because the truth is, the point of this podcast, like I hope many other podcasts, is to wake our people up, to get you to realize how great you are. In the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and before that, like there was incredible greatness. Even after Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left the earth and he was leaving his legacy with all the different khalifa, Islam was ruling the world in a beautiful way. And it was just transforming society. And we were on top. But guess what? There was a point in history where we got a little full of ourselves and we started to do the wrong things. We started to engage in haram. We got a little too cocky. You know, we like, oh, we have it now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought judgment upon some parts of the earth. And that's how it works. You got to remember and stay humble. So, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, keep doing what you're doing, but do it with a humble heart And just know that people are going to be naysayers. They're going to say a lot about you. Oh, you trying to dress modest now? You, you who does this and that. Yeah, just kill that. Kill that. Because if anything, take it from the horse's mouth. I hate to say it that way, but if they want good for you, if they themselves are religious and they want good for you, they're going to be like, mashallah, sister. I know before you used to show a little bit of your neck, but I noticed you covering it up. I've seen some sisters doing that in Ramadan. Wallah, I've seen, I don't know, I hope it's not just for Ramadan, but mashallah, I'm proud of them. I'm not judging them. I'm like, yeah, yes, sis, I'm in your corner. Do that. I hope you keep doing that. Good for you. Good for you. You know, because a lot of sisters, hijab is hard for them. There's a lot of sisters who tell me right now, I hope I can wear hijab by the end of Ramadan. I'm struggling with it. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be honest and nobody get mad. I'm just going to be real with you because I'm like your big sister. If you have a problem wearing hijab, some sisters are like, oh, I fear for my life. Okay, I get that. I have some sisters calling me a lot of time from France and these difficult places. I get it. You know, that I would say is a whole nother category to talk about. But the majority of us aren't going to get knifed on our way to work if we put on hijab. Like the majority of us are not going to, you know, there are some serious situations. I'm not trying to downplay it. But I'm just trying to tell you, the majority of us, our real problem is we don't think we're beautiful in hijab, or we're worried about what everyone's looking at us and thinking about us. And all that comes from a place of a lack of pride and self like strength. Because if I love Allah to death, I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to death, and I would go down for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You couldn't rip my hijab off if you tried. That's the attitude you got to have, you know? And subhanallah, you couldn't if you tried. You know, in the time of Rasulullah, people were laying down for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Islam. And right now we're like, oh, you know, I don't want to be like comment on my post, you know, because my hair is like this. You know, I don't know. Why are we so scared of people? What is the worst that can happen? They're going to say something. If those same people are going to say something to you about your hijab, they're going to say it behind you without hijab. Those are just backbiters. Let them be. Make du'a for them. Why are you holding back your greatness? Because you know, so my number three is kill the noise. Last one, number four. And this one, I've said before, I did this podcast long time back, and it was called How to Put Fortune 500 Companies and Mean Girls in Their Place. I think this was one of my favorite podcasts that I ever did, and it's such a weird title, so like off-putting, like How to Put People in Their Place. What are you saying there, Mindful Muslima? It is because it was the moment when I realized, like I'm talking about some fear. I had some fear back in those times because it was a time, I'm not going to tell the whole story now, where it was really, really hard for me. And I had people coming after me that had power. Like I have worked in some very powerful places. For whatever reason, Allah put me amongst these people, very scary people, I'm sorry. And, you know, at the end of the day, I have been privileged to work with like multi-million dollar companies or organizations. They have taught me a lot about how to be professional, how to be a woman of power, but also a woman who maintains her identity, even when people try to get her to sell out, which is what I was getting. People were trying to get me to sell out. And that's when I realized who I was. I said, ooh, I made it all the way to the top. Oh, making six figures, but this is what it looks like up here in the clouds. I'm good. They can have it. And that comes from a person who spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on her education, right? I'm not just like coming up here, influencer, podcaster. Like I'm not living that life. If I could be honest, I did the old school thing and I went through multiple degrees and then I came on the podcast. Those of you who know me know my story, right? I'm only saying because a lot of people knew coming Ramadan, they don't know. But then I switched. I was like, you know, times have changed. This is what people are doing. And we got to roll with the punches, you know? So here I am. I come at the podcast. But believe me, I did the thing that so many people are trying to do. You know, rise up, the career life, meh, meh, meh. It is ugly up there. I'm sorry. I don't care if you're in the medical profession, you're in the educational profession, you're in the political arena. I had done so much of all that. I used to work with mayors and officers. And I used to have to work with all types of heads of whatever, and even diplomats. I used to work with all that. It gets a little hairy up there. And at the end of the day, you have to know who you are. So when I made that podcast, it was my revelation that even when I was put into precarious situations in those places as a hijabi, full hijabi, it was scary because when they tell the story about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and how he went up against Fir'aun. You know, we read that like almost fairy tale like oh, there's this thing that happened, and I'm not saying like it's not real. It happened, obviously, alhamdulillah. But my point is like we read it like a story that we tell our kids, right? But what if you actually go up against like a Fir'aun? Like that's my point. Like I actually had to go up against, to me, what is like a Fir'aun. A couple of them. And some mean girls and a whole bunch of mixed bag of stuff. And my point is, when you get to that position, when you know everybody could do you wrong, right? That any moment they could do you dirty and you could not come back because you'd be so blacklisted, because that's how it is in those spaces. People know people know people and they ruin you. You have to really have some serious trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what I'm going to tell you right now, sisters, for those of you out there who have anxiety and worried about what if, it is a complete lack of trust of Allah. You know, one thing I did in that space is I actually was forced to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ways I had never trusted Him before. And I was so like with my neck out, I could have easily been destroyed. And I was like, Ya Rab, you know what? It's better time than ever to do every sunnah I've ever read about, because if anybody gonna help me, it's you. And stories you would not believe, people who are about to like roast me, like really ruin me, and a phone would ring in an office and it would kill it like in a second, and people would be mad because they couldn't move forward to the next step because their superior shut it down after I had just sat in my car for 2 hours crying and making dua for Allah to help me and saying every protective dua and every, you know, sunnah. And I come into the office like, whoa, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we actually exercised it, if we actually had trust in it, mind-blowing. I'm not even trying to be like, seriously, it is. So this is speaking from a person who's been there, but the majority of us don't do it. We don't take that leap of faith. We don't make those special adhkar. We don't do any of that. So what I want to say to you is, the fourth thing that will be stopping you if you don't is your lack of trust of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do in your life. We put limits on Allah. I can't believe we have the nerve to do that. I don't do that, sister. Astaghfirullah. Really? But you're saying it's never going to work out. You have all these negative thoughts about your future when Allah holds your future. Why you don't just say, well, to put myself in a good position with Allah so He can help me, what do I need to do? A, B, C? Cool. I'm going to do that as hard as it is, but I'm going to do it. And when you do that, that's you taking the step, one step forward, Allah, 10 steps towards you. Trust me, try it this Ramadan. Do something that you think is normally hard for you to give up. Do, make a move. Do it, but like do it full out. Don't do it like one day, oh, I didn't see a result. Like don't do the fast food version, because that's just petty. I don't know. People do these versions like these, take a pill, I need a relief in 5 minutes. That's not real life, guys. Like do the thing, do it for real, and put the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will never fail you. I have never been failed by Allah. I say that public on air, knowing I'm hitting 150 countries. You know, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazing. So number one, two, three, four. The things stopping you are you not being real with where you are. Go make tawbah to Allah. Get real with Him this Ramadan. What do you need to do? And just recognize it, own it. Don't let it hold you back. Have that moment with Him and move on. Number two, kill the negative talk in your head. It is only going to ruin your Ramadan. Shaitan's gone. Don't be your own shaitan. Number three. What was number three? See, I'm testing you now. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We have to recognize that we have to kill the noise around us. Stop listening to what everybody's saying. Everybody's doing current stuff. Have your moments alone between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't let whatever people have said to you about you, whatever, keep you down. Number four, trust Allah. You're not going to have anyone in your corner like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way you trust Him is by spending time with Him, getting to know Him, but also taking those scary steps and actually doing the sunnah as opposed to like what's easy for you. You know? Don't live your life in fear, because to live your life in faith is what we're supposed to do, right? Faith over fear. And most of us, we're living in fear, anxious about what's coming tomorrow. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough situation. I don't know if I'm going to get that job. I don't know if they can accept me in the college. Sis, qadr of Allah ma shafa. It's already written, your rizq. You know, you could chase that
you know, 80K paycheck when you hit that degree. But your rizq is already written. What you're getting is already written. I was trying that. I was like, oh, you know, I got to make my name. I got to prove myself. No, I don't. Like, at the end of the day, that's not even going to be asked of me. Do you know this podcast is not going to be asked of me? I do it as a sadaqah jariyah. I do it fi sabilillah. But, like, the first thing going to be asked about me is my salah. I better be good with that. And my family and, I'm, you know, those who have a haqq on me, who have rights on me. You know, keep it focused. Don't go all over with this career, la, la, la. I've hit all the career notes. I told you, I did all the six figures, wham, bam, and here I am, gave it all up. I'm not saying don't pursue your dream. I'm saying don't make it your life. Live your life. Find other passions and things. Connect with your Lord. Do all that stuff. And make career part of what you do, but not all of what you do. Your accolades, great. Not going to help you in the akhirah, okay? What's going to help you are the things that Allah says are going to help you get to know them this Ramadan. We'll be talking more about them on the podcast. Love you all for the sake of Allah. Talk to you in the next one. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.